Play you the pop music you love here on VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Gregory Stockel has a story on a robot that makes fried foods. Dan Friedel reports on the kimchi crisis in South Korea. And Faith Perlow describes words used for different kinds of stormy weather. We finish with part three of Edgar Allan Poe's story, William Wilson. But first,
fried foods like French fries and onion rings are going high-tech thanks to a company in Southern California. Miso Robotics Inc. has released its Flippy 2 robot. The robot automates the process of deep-frying food like potatoes and onions. The robot uses a large robotic arm like those used in auto plants. It is directed by cameras and artificial intelligence. It takes frozen French fries and other foods out of a freezer, puts them into hot oil, and then places them ready to serve into a container. Flippy 2 can cook several meals with different cooking processes at the same time. Miso says this reduces the need for employees and speeds up the time for people to get their food at drive-through windows. Miso chief executive Mike Bell said that when an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically tells Flippy what to do. Bell added, "It does it faster or more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it." Miso said it took 5 years to develop Flippy, and it recently made the robot available for businesses to buy. The robot's name comes from an earlier robot named Flippy. Flippy was designed to flip fast food burgers. But once Miso's team finished that machine, they saw there was a greater need at the fry station, especially late at night. Bell said people do notice Flippy too, but only at first. He said when they put a robot in a location, buyers that come up and order, they all take pictures, they take videos, they ask a bunch of questions, and the second time they come in, they seem not to even notice it. Miso engineers can watch Flippy 2 robots working in real time on a screen. That permits them to deal with any problems that come up. Several restaurant chains have started using the robotic fry cook. Bell said they include Jack in the Box in San Diego, California, White Castle in the Midwest, and Cali Burger on the West Coast. Bell said three other big U.S. fast food chains have put Flippy to work, but he said they are unsure about advertising it because some people may have opinions about robots taking away jobs from humans. Bell said the jobs that humans are happiest to offload are jobs like the fry station. He added that workers are happy to have help so they can do other things. Miso Robotics has around 90 engineers. They work on new technology or work on computer language. One of the company's next projects is Sippy. Sippy is a drink-making robot that will take an order from a buyer and prepare drinks, including preparing things like the lid and the straw. Bell said that in the future, people will walk into a restaurant and look at a robot and say, "Hey, remember the old days when humans used to do that kind of thing?" And those days, it's coming. It's just a matter of how quick. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Kimchi is a traditional food served in South Korea. The main part of the food is a preserved vegetable, often cabbage. But this year, kimchi is more costly than usual because the cabbage crop has been small. Some farmers say climate change has made it harder to grow cabbage. Temperatures have been high, and there has been more rain than usual. Businesses that sell kimchi are having trouble making money because there is less cabbage than most years. Their costs for cabbage doubled over just 3 months this year. Cabbage prices reached their highest level in 24 years last summer. In addition, kimchi is getting more popular around the world, so there is more competition. For example, food makers in China are now growing cabbage and making kimchi and selling it to people in South Korea. So the South Korean government is making plans to build two large holding places for cabbage. The places will be the size of three soccer fields and be able to hold 10,000 tons of cabbage. The holding places will cost about $40 million and are expected to be ready in 2025. They will be built in the rural areas of Goasan and Hainan. The large holding buildings will help small kimchi makers who are not able to buy as much cabbage as they want. An Ik-jin runs the kimchi maker Cheongon Organic. In most years, he said, the company would buy cabbage in June and hold on to it to use later in the year. But this year, they were not able to buy enough cabbage. As a result, the company is only producing 10 tons of kimchi each day. In past years, it would make 15 tons daily. Cheongon Organic has also raised prices by over 60%. The kimchi now costs about $3.50 per kilogram. The higher prices are a problem for the South Korean kimchi companies because the kimchi coming from China is much less costly. The Chinese-made kimchi now has 40% of the market. It is about one-third the cost of local kimchi. A study by Korea Rating and Data showed that about 1,000 South Korean kimchi makers went out of business or switched to making other products last year. The government hopes the new cabbage holding places can help businesses that make kimchi. There is a growing interest in South Korean culture around the world. One of the most popular music groups in the world is BTS. And a television program, Squid Game, is successful on the Netflix streaming video service. There is also interest in eating kimchi. As a result, the amount of money from kimchi exports rose over 10% in 2021 to a total of $160 million. Kimchi is more popular than ever, but there are some concerns at home. Many South Korean people like to make their own kimchi and share it with friends and families during a time known as Kimjang. But many people are no longer making it at home because the ingredients are so costly. Kim Suk-kyung is 72 years old. She talked with a reporter while shopping at a food store. She said she plans to make her own kimchi some of the time, and other times buy it at the store. Sales numbers at the food store company Hanaro Mart suggest she is thinking in the same way as many other Koreans. Since August, the food store has sold 20% more containers of kimchi compared to the same period last year. I'm Dan Friedel.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question from VSRC Murthy in India about some stormy weather. Hello, VOA Learning English. I have a question about the differences and similarities among these words. Hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, cyclones, and thunderstorms. Thank you, VSRC Murthy from Hyderabad, India. Thank you, VSRC Murthy. Your question is timed well. Powerful storms have been in the news recently. From a hurricane that hit the southern United States, to a typhoon that blew into the Philippines, Vietnam, and Thailand. Which word you might use to describe a storm often depends on where you are in the world. Let's start with hurricane. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that the word means a tropical cyclone with winds of 119 kilometers an hour or greater, and usually including rain, thunder, and lightning. The term is used for such storms in the North Atlantic Ocean, down to the Caribbean Sea. Typhoons are the same kind of powerful ocean storm or cyclone. But that term is used for storms in the Northwest Pacific Ocean. In the South Pacific and Indian Ocean, these storms are more commonly called tropical cyclones. All of these storms are considered cyclones because they rotate or move in a circular motion across tropical or subtropical warm waters. You may have heard names like tropical depression or tropical storm in news coverage of hurricanes and the like. These kinds of storms can lead to a hurricane or typhoon, depending on the speed of the winds. A storm with winds below 62.7 kilometers per hour is a tropical depression. If the winds are from 62.7 to 118 kilometers per hour, the storm is called a tropical storm. And lastly, anything over 119 kilometers per hour is considered a hurricane, typhoon, or cyclone. Hurricanes and typhoons include thunderstorms and storm surges from ocean water. That can lead to coastal flooding. Thunderstorms are heavy rainstorms in which you can hear thunder. During thunderstorms, winds are strong, and there is always lightning. You can find thunderstorms in different parts of the world, not just in the tropics. When thunderstorms become severe, with intense winds, tornadoes can form. Tornadoes are narrow storms that start in a thunderstorm and touch the ground. They are very violent and destructive. Here are a few examples of how we can use these words in sentences. Hurricane season in the Atlantic Ocean is from June through the end of November. Typhoon Noru quickly strengthened into a super typhoon last week with winds up to 175 kilometers per hour. Often in the summer, thunderstorms form in the afternoons, bringing heavy rain and lightning. Tornado Alley is an area in the central United States where tornadoes happen often. Please let us know if these examples and explanations have helped you, VSRC Murthy. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
William Wilson, Part 3.
You remember that in the last part of my story, I told of my experiences in my first school. I spoke of my early meetings with a boy who looked and behaved as I did, whose name was even the same as mine, William Wilson. I told of the night when I went to Wilson's room with a plan to hurt him. What I saw that night so frightened me that I left the room and the school forever. As I stood looking down at his sleeping form and face, I might have been looking at myself in a looking-glass. It was not like this, surely not like this, that he appeared in the daytime. The same name, the same face, the same body, the same day of coming to school, and then his use of my way of walking, my manner of speaking. Was it in truth humanly possible that what I now saw was the result, and the result only, of his continued efforts to be like me? Afraid, I left the old school and never entered it again. After some months at home, doing nothing, I went to study at the famous school called Eton. I had partly forgotten my days at the other school, or at least my feelings about those days had changed. The truth, the terrible truth of what had happened there, was gone. Now I doubted what I remembered. Now I called the subject into my mind only to smile at the strength of the strange ideas and thoughts I had once had. My life at Eton did not change this view. The fool's life into which I carelessly threw myself washed away everything that was valuable in my past. I do not wish, however, to tell here the story of my wrongdoing, wrongdoing which went against every law of the school and escaped the watchful eyes of all the teachers. 3 years of this had passed, and I had grown much larger in body and smaller in soul. 3 years of wrongdoing had made me evil. One night I asked a group of friends who were as evil as I to come to a secret meeting in my room. We met at a late hour. There was strong drink, and there were games of cards, loud talking until the new day began appearing in the east. Warm with the wine and with the games of chance, I was raising my glass to drink in honor of some especially evil idea when I heard the voice of a servant outside the room. He said that someone had asked to speak with me in another room. I was delighted. A few steps brought me into the hall of the building. In this room no light was hanging, but I could see the form of a young man about my own height, wearing clothes like those I myself was wearing. His face I could not see. When I had entered, he came quickly up to me, and taking me by the arm, he said softly in my ear, "William Wilson." There was something in the manner of the stranger and in the trembling of his uplifted finger which made my eyes open wide. But it was not this which had so strongly touched my mind and heart. It was the sound of those two simple, well-known words, "William Wilson," which reached into my soul. Before I could think again and speak, he was gone. For some weeks I thought about this happening. Who and what was this Wilson? Where did he come from? And what were his purposes? I learned that for family reasons he had suddenly left the other school on the afternoon of the day I myself had left it. But in a short time I stopped thinking about the subject. I gave all my thoughts to plans for study at Oxford University. There I soon went. My father and mother sent me enough money to live like the sons of the richest families in England. Now my nature showed itself with double force. I threw aside all honor. Among those who spent too much money, I spent more, and I added new forms of wrongdoing to the older ones already well known at the university. And I fell still lower. Although it may not be easily believed, it is a fact that I forgot my position as a gentleman. I learned and used all the evil ways of those men who live by playing cards. Like such skilled gamblers, I played to make money. My friends trusted me, however. To them, I was the laughing but honorable William Wilson, who freely gave gifts to anyone and everyone, who was young and who had some strange ideas, but who never did anything really bad. For 2 years I was successful in this way. Then a young man came to the university, a young man named Glendinning, who, people said, had quickly and easily become very rich. I soon found him of weak mind. This, of course, made it easy for me to get his money by playing cards. I played with him often. At first, with the gambler's usual skill, I let him take money from me. Then my plans were ready. I met him one night in the room of another friend, Mr. Preston. A group of 8 or 10 persons were there. By my careful planning, I made it seem that it was chance that started us playing cards. In fact, it was Glendinning himself who first spoke of a card game. We sat and played far into the night, and at last the others stopped playing. Glendinning and I played by ourselves while the others watched. The game was the one I liked best, a game called Ecarte. Glendinning played with a wild nervousness that I could not understand, though it was caused partly, I thought, by all the wine he had been drinking. In a very short time he had lost a great amount of money to me. Now he wanted to double the amount for which we played. This was as I had planned, but I made it seem that I did not want to agree. At last I said yes. In an hour he had lost 4 times as much money as before. For some reason his face had become white. I had thought him so rich that losing money would not trouble him, and I believed this whiteness, this paleness, was the result of drinking too much wine. Now, fearing what my friends might say about me, I was about to stop the game when his broken cry and the wild look in his eyes made me understand that he had lost everything he owned. Weak of mind and made weaker by wine, he should never have been allowed to play that night. But I had not stopped him. I had used his condition to destroy him. The room was very quiet. I could feel the icy coldness in my friends. What I would have done, I cannot say, for at that moment the wide, heavy doors of the room were suddenly opened. Every light in the room went out. But I had seen that a man entered. He was about my own height, and he was wearing a very fine long coat. The darkness, however, was now complete, and we could only feel that he was standing among us. Then we heard his voice. In a soft, low, never-to-be-forgotten voice, which I felt deep in my bones, he said, "Gentlemen, I am here only to do my duty. You cannot know the true character of the man who has tonight taken a large amount of money from Mr. Glendinning. Please have him take off his coat, and then look in it very carefully." While he was speaking, there was not another sound in the room, and as he ended, he was gone.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.